Hello everyone and happy Monday. I'm Millie Nelson, editor of Bioprocess Insider, and I'm excited to welcome you back to our Voices of Biotech podcast series, where as you already know, we're focusing on all things green in the biotech space. This week, we are bringing you a conversation with James Choi from Samsung Biologics, and we'll be discussing what sustainability efforts the CDMO is making and how service providers play a pivotal role in achieving more sustainable practices. We really hope you enjoy the episode, and we're already looking forward to next month where a brand new episode will be released.
It'd be great to start, James, if you could give a brief introduction of yourself.
Hi, I'm James Choi, Executive Vice President and Head of our Sales Service Support Division, and also Head of our Global Public Affairs Function, and lead in the Sustainable Markets Initiative Supply Chain Health Systems Task Force to deliver net zero across the healthcare value chain.
Amazing. Thank you. I think it'd be a great place to start. Obviously, you just touched upon it there about being part of the sustainability supply chain initiative. Who has Samsung Biologics teamed up with in Big Pharma to kind of advance these efforts across the supply chain and beyond in the company?
Sure. The best way to explain that is to give a little overview of the SMI, or the Sustainable Markets Initiative. It was actually launched back in the World Economic Forum in 2020. And there were a bunch of task forces that were introduced, and one of them being health systems, by then His Majesty Prince Charles, now King Charles. And the overall lead of the health systems task force is AstraZeneca. And the CEO of AstraZeneca, Paul Soria, assigned champions for three sections, three working groups within the SMI health systems task force. First being digital healthcare. And the champion for that is Merck, led by the champion Belén Garijo. And the second is patient care pathways, headed by the Sanofi CEO, Paul Hudson. And the third is supply chains, which is championed by our CEO, John Rim. And each of these working groups have been looking at driving in the respective areas reduction of the carbon emissions to a net zero target across all of health systems. So I mentioned three private companies, Merck, Sanofi, AstraZeneca, and Samsung Biologics being one of them. But there are also participation from GSK, Novo Nordisk, Roche Genentech. And we're very excited to also announce that Novartis has joined effective this year, and also Reckitt.
And it's great to have an overview there of kind of the players in this team and what you're trying to do. I'd be really interested to know, why has Samsung Biologics decided to do this, especially as you're a CDMO? Are you bringing something a little bit different to the table in terms of this group that are together?
Yes, as a CDMO, we're a supplier to the major biopharmas. And supply chains, if you look at supply chains, that's roughly half of all the emissions in healthcare. And if you look at the carbon footprint of most companies, you know, what they call scope 3, which is carbon emissions from your supply chain partners, that's really 70 to 80%. So being a service provider, a supplier, being part of pharma's scope 3 is a huge chunk of the opportunity to reduce emissions. So we think that we play a very important role as a CDMO and a service provider.
How did Samsung Biologics become involved with teaming up with Big Pharma? How did the partnership start? Was it something where somebody reached out to you and they thought, we really need a CDMO here to be getting that side of the coin in this team, especially as you just mentioned, you know, if supply chain is such a big part of sustainability, then you need probably a service provider there who is serving these big farmers to also be a part of the initiative.
Yes, we were invited by Pascal Soria, the overall task force team champion, AstraZeneca CEO. And like you said, having a CDMO is key because most pharma companies have CDMOs as a key part of their extended supply chain.
And thinking about you being a CDMO in this team effort, I know that you're probably all working towards an overall aim, and feel free to let me know if that's kind of in writing and there that says what that aim is. But do you think any of your objectives or goals differ from other players in this team due to being a CDMO, or do you all come together and you all have this same concept of this is where we want to be, and you might then have individual tasks that differ slightly to get to that end goal, but you're all all reaching for that same aim?
No, we're all reaching for the same aim. In fact, to be a core member of the task force, we have to be aligned on what those targets have to be. And we are also aligned in announcing what the supplier target should be. And last year, the CEOs of the companies got together and published an open letter to the healthcare sector suppliers expressing our expectations for the standards that we expect in terms of, you know, targets for sustainability.
Right. And would you be able to say any of those targets that you've just mentioned?
First is to assess and disclose scope 1, 2, and 3 emissions by the year 2025. Another one is by 2025, commit to set near-term targets aligned with the 1.5-degree pathways. By 2025, set targets to reduce waste and energy and reuse materials in manufacturing, committing to switch to at least 80% renewable power by 2030 and make that commitment public. By 2030, explore options to source green heat, transport suppliers to make SBTI scientific-based targets, align commitments by 2025, committing to set standards for own suppliers, and lastly, setting targets to increase water efficiency and committing to adopt water stewardship standards.
That's really interesting there about, you know, setting targets to your own suppliers, because I think that plays a big part if you're making so much effort into getting these core sustainability goals met. You then were to use or have other suppliers that are then not meeting your values and setting your goals, it kind of sets you back a little bit. And I have spoken to a few people who have said in the past in the industry, we now, when we're partnering with people, we're looking actually at what their sustainability goals are and how close they are to meeting with them as to whether we'd like to even enter into a partnership with them. I don't know if that's something that Samsung also is doing, but I think that's important. So you have that clear goal towards the end and you're not getting mixed up in that. We're doing this, but we've got other people doing this.
Yeah, it's important. I mean, having your supply chain and all your important partners all be aligned in your targets is vital because, like I said, most companies, scope 3 is like 70 to 80%. In our case, our scope 3 is about 83% of our entire emissions footprint. So it's imperative for our suppliers to be aligned to our expectations.
And I mean, you mentioned there a few times 2025, so you're looking at quite a few of these goals to come into play next year or be set in stone for next year. And you did mention one of those would be public. Are the other ones then you're just seeing whether it's going to get into 2025? Are they going to remain private or are these things that are going to be reported on in the future?
So we're currently, as an SMI task force, reviewing ways to monitor and track, you know, these metrics with our suppliers, with our key suppliers that have agreed to and signed up for these standards. But clearly, you know, tracking, measuring, that's all part of the actions that we have to take to make sure that these are realized.
And the life cycle of a product gets discussed a lot, I think, in terms of sustainability in this sector. And obviously that has, I would say, quite a linked relationship with supply chains. I was just wondering if I could get your take on the life cycle of a product. I think we've heard from people before in the past, in interviews and events, where people have said, you know, you really do need to have that life cycle from beginning to end. And where are you going to put that product at the end? Or what are you going to do with that material at the end? It would be great if Samsung Biologics has a system where they say, like, this is what we always do with a certain product at the beginning. This is what we do throughout. And this is what we do at the end to try and reach those sustainability efforts.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, as a CDMO to our clients that have sustainability targets, we have to be able to demonstrate that the products that we're manufacturing for them from our facilities have a certain carbon footprint. So right now we're working with our clients in defining their overall product footprint so that they can feel confident they've achieved their targets and can publish that, you know, with products that we manufacture for them. So, you know, without going into a lot of details, this is an area that we work closely with our clients. And obviously, in order for us to do the life cycle assessments, we have to have a pretty good idea of what those emissions are from our own tail of suppliers. So this is a ongoing thing that, you know, we work collaboratively with our clients to make sure that they have line of sight into the overall carbon footprint.
You just mentioned there collaboratively, and that actually brings me quite nicely onto my next question, where I was going to say, why do you think there's such an importance on collaborating within sustainability efforts? Essentially, why not go alone and do it? Do you think this is something where there's a huge advantage coming together and doing this with other players and other people over doing it as a singular company?
Yeah, I mean, clearly there are synergies, right? I mean, we're all trying to get to the same goal. Studies have clearly shown a direct linkage correlation between climate change and global health, patient health. So especially, you know, those of us in the healthcare sector feel a moral imperative to lead by example and for us to collaborate together to synergize on our common goals to get to really aligning and standardizing on the way that we track and measure and establishing common standards and a framework will help drive demand for the energy providers, the green power suppliers, right? Because we can't do it without them. To help us get there. And a lot of this is economics. I mean, if it was that easy and cheap to do, everybody would do it. But there's some challenges across the supply chains, and that's where the power of the coalition really comes into play. To align everybody and to help drive demand and, you know, more transparency into the opportunities.
And you mentioned there about data. I guess data is something where you need a lot of it, especially in terms of sustainability efforts, so that you can say, this is our starting point and this is where we're going towards. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I'd assume if you're working together in a team, consortium, if you'd like, you have the ability to then share data and share insights and share how one business might be seeing sustainability and efforts affect them. And then you can give your opinion as a CDMO or how you see it from your side. So I'm assuming you hit a few more topics rather than one company looking at this as we need to be sustainable. What would work for us? You're looking at it a little bit more holistically if you have a lot of big players there, all from coming from slightly different angles.
Yeah, I mean, to an extent. Right. We got to be careful that we're not doing anything that comes across as a compliance risk. Like, we don't want to share data that's not shareable in terms of our client, our suppliers and our clients. So we make sure we go about doing it in a compliant way, but do share best practices at a level that's sufficient for us to be able to leverage, you know, those innovative ideas and concepts. But where it comes to sharing information, we make sure that we do it in a compliant way and not put into question misuse of this type of a coalition.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, I guess you have clients with confidential information and you're not going to want to be sharing that in terms of with other companies. And no, that makes complete sense. Thanks for adding that point in. I think that's important. You did mention, I think, around 2 minutes ago, maybe, so I'm just rewinding a little bit here about the water initiatives and the green power initiatives. Obviously, I think everyone in the industry knows that Samsung's had a huge manufacturing capacity projects of late, where we, you know, we've seen plants popping up. And I was wondering whether you'd be able to just go into a little bit of detail for the listeners about what sustainability efforts have been placed at these new plants, how the Samsung team decided this was an important thing to have inside a manufacturing facility and how it operates.
Sure. I mean, we've now constructed 4 plants in our current biocampus, Biocampus 1, and we're currently constructing our 5th plant, plant number 5, the first plant in our 2nd biocampus. And in plant 5, with every plant that we construct, we apply the previous learnings and try to figure out how to make each plant, successive plant, even greener than the previous one. So with plant 5, we expect it to be 20% more efficient in terms of carbon footprint, and everything from green energy, obviously with like solar power, more renewable and recycling to reduce the utilities load, even with the low carbon type concrete that we used, construction of it, and energy efficiency from data gathering and like an information platform that we've invested in to monitor and track utility consumption, power consumption, to optimize that across the entire plant. So we're very committed when it comes to making sure that we apply our learnings and apply innovation with every subsequent plant that we build to get to a greener footprint. And we also have ISO certifications in energy use and ESG related operations, so that not only do we have it, but we also make sure that we're certified, so we practice every step of the way in our operations.
Thinking about that, you mentioned there, you know, sourcing different material to make things more sustainable. Has that been a relatively simple process for Samsung Biologics, or has that been something that you've had to really shop around and look for people who are able to provide that and also it yield the same results as a normal traditional facility?
So we have the benefit of being able to leverage our Samsung affiliates. So we have an engineering construction business in Samsung that we're able to leverage. And thanks to that power of our broader business portfolio It's simple for us, and that's one of our competitive advantages, we think, is that we are able to tap into the innovation and the scale that we have as a broader Samsung business in terms of improving our sustainability effort.
In terms of who you then employ at these plants, I'm assuming, is everything running the same as it would in a traditional plant, or with these slight tweaks to make plants more sustainable, is there a difference in the daily running of the facility where staff members then have to maybe learn a slightly different method to be able to be more sustainable? Or is it in the main thing, it's just the facility is more sustainable in its build out and the way it uses water and gets rid of water, etc.?
I think it's both. You know, there are some innovations in terms of how we heat our water and how we're able to make all of it more efficient in terms of the overall water consumption and cycling. But there are some practices that we also practice throughout our entire facilities that our employees have made second nature. We can't go into all the details, but it's a combination of both.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense because when people hire in, I guess, any company, you have to have staff members that reflect the values and the culture of the company if sustainability is one of those. And I was, you know, assuming that that was something else that would be intertwined with the hiring process at Samsung. I think from my side, that's everything. But what I always like to do is open it up to you, James. And if there's anything you think that I've missed or something that you think is really important that Samsung is doing with sustainability that you'd like to mention, then please feel free to go ahead and say that now.
Thank you for the opportunity, Millie, and great talking about sustainability. I would say we just want to reinforce that sustainability, especially in healthcare, is vital. And for any company that is looking to get to a net zero footprint, the challenge is your suppliers. And finding the right supplier and the right partner who is aligned with the sustainability ambitions you have is vitally important. And, you know, as a CDMO, Samsung Biologics is committed to that. And I just want to remind all of our listeners that we're here to help.